Welcome to All the Therapies.
We're two clinicians who try out different therapeutic practices
so you can find the right type of healing for you.
I'm Abby Crum.
I'm Mona E. Shaker.
And if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Thanks for joining us. Let's jump in now.
Welcome, everybody. I'm really excited. Today we have Linda Rogley, and she is a certified professional ADHD coach. She facilitates retreats. She has these really cool events called Paloozas. And you heard about this in a previous episode, but I tried her organization course because I struggle with symptoms of ADHD, and it's really been helpful for me. And so I really wanted to interview Linda about her approach and what she knows about ADHD, because I think this is coming up for so many people. So Linda, tell us a little bit about how you came to this work and how you became an ADHD coach.
Well, thank you so much for having me, both of you. I really love being here, and thank you so much for inviting me. My journey to be an ADHD coach was, as most people's journeys are these days, very circuitous. It's like it went this way and that way, especially when you have ADHD, as I do.
Totally.
Exactly. But I actually started in the journalism field. I was a radio and TV reporter, and then eventually, and newspaper actually, and then eventually started my own company as an advertising agency, quit the advertising agency after about 10 years, because I was just burned to a crisp and said, oh, well, I'll just start something else up, and did a couple of other things. And finally, I realized, you know what I really want to do is lead retreats. So I went through a retreat training program, which was really intensive, with Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote Conversations with God. As part of that training, there was some coaching training. And I thought, this coaching stuff is terrible. I've been in therapy for years, and this is just pablum. It's just horrible. I was so put off by it that my roommate across the hall, my person right across the hall from me at this session, because there were only 10 of us at this training, she actually ran a coaching program, and it was a spiritual life coaching program. So I went through that coaching program, and she got her idea from speaking circles. So I went through the speaking circles training. So then I realized, okay, now I'm ready to do retreats. And I realized that you can spit and hit 23 spiritual life coaches. And I thought, I think I need to do something different. I come from a marketing background. No one, almost no one, only two people that I knew of were talking about ADHD and women. And I said, you know, there's a huge market here, and it's not being filled yet.
Yeah.
So that's how I came into working specifically with ADHD coaching. And then, of course, I trained specifically for ADHD with a lot of the greats like Nancy Rady and like a lot of the other folks out there. At that point, there wasn't any official ADHD training program. But of course, I really think that my greatest credential as an ADHD coach is that I have ADHD.
Yeah.
And I live it every single day. And I've had people say, how can you coach when you have ADHD? And I say, that's exactly the reason I can coach, because
absolutely,
I get it. And we really need that kind of camaraderie to be able to feel like, okay, I'm not alone. And that's how I felt for so long, which is why I created the AD Diva Network. I did that in 2007. Just because I wanted other women to talk to. It was purely selfish. And I thought, we need each other. So that's kind of what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Providing some normality, if you will, for that, which is great.
Definitely. Thank you for sharing just the trajectory around that. I find it very inspiring to see somebody who's kind of reinvented themselves, and especially after feeling burnt out, giving yourself permission to just try something new. And yeah, just me personally, I just feel really inspired that you just sort of followed the path. You did these trainings, these workshops and coaching, and then you discovered a niche that makes sense to you. And I'm sure that's where the passion comes from as well.
Plus, so I was almost 50 and I thought, I don't get that many more do-overs in this life.
Yes.
And I want to do this one right. I didn't say this, but I really wanted to do something that worked with my ADHD instead of fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I'll tell you, as I look back over my careers, I worked in journalism, which is a deadline-driven business. I worked in advertising, which is a deadline-driven business. Everything I did, you know, dovetailed with my ADHD. It's just that it burned me out in the process.
Totally.
Yeah. So what is your approach as a coach to help people with ADHD? And how do you think that differentiates from traditional therapy?
Oh, well, coaching and therapy are really different, as you all know, and I'm sure everyone knows listening. Because I've done so much therapy myself, I feel like I really know therapy. But then coaching, I really got clear about the difference when I helped co-create the Unitarian Universalist Coaching Network. And there were some therapists who came into the program kind of grandfathered in or grandmothered in, if you will. Mm-hmm. And their approach was so different that, and I'm not saying this is what you do, but their approach was so different, they were looking for all the problems. and they were trying to fix the problems, where coaching is looking for what's going right and being able to go that direction a little bit more. And I've heard, you know, kind of the standard line is, you know, coaching takes you from where you are and to where you want to be, but so does therapy. So I think coaching and therapy get a little bit mixed up, but I'm not a trained therapist. So even though I've had years of therapy, I don't go there. It's very, very common for a lot of folks with ADHD to have both a coach and a therapist, because the therapy deals with the issues that come up around the ADHD, like depression and low self-esteem and a lot of things. And certainly we have some childhood issues as well, because a lot of us grew up with ADHD parents with no one realizing what was going on. So coaching is just a little bit, it's not quite as deep. And what I find, we may be going on to the next question here, but I'm just going to jump in here. What I find is that people come to me, they don't come to coaching or to therapy for that matter, because everything's going well. They come when things are falling apart. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I'll get this, I have 4 weeks to fix this. Can you do it? And I'm like, you have to find another coach, right? Same. But what I find is that they come with something specific. They're on the verge of a divorce. Their husband or their wife is going to leave them if they don't get the house cleaned up, or they're going to lose their job, or they're on probation, or all kinds, or their kids are, you know, they can't handle their kids. One more kid in the household and suddenly everything's fallen apart. And what I find is that that first session is all about this is wrong, and I need some help, and I need strategies, and I need this, and I need that. And over the next couple of sessions, at least private sessions, what I know and what they come to realize is that what they really need is self-confidence. They really need that belief in themselves. So I learned this early on. So back in the day, I thought, well, I'm not going to do ADHD coaching. I'm going to do encouragement coaching. Mm. Guess what? Nobody wants encouragement coaching. They want to fix the strategy. They want to fix it. And yet, when we build that up, and that kind of has implications for the organizing program, when we build that up again, then it's easier to implement those strategies. You probably know this statistic, and I believe it's accurate to say that ADHD kiddos have 20,000 more negative messages than non-ADHD kids by the time they are through elementary school. So that's a lot of overcoming negative messages that we have to do, and we're still overcoming them, even in adulthood. So that's why I know encouragement, and you probably know encouragement is really, really important for these folks and for all of us. Let's face it, we all need that pat on the back.
Totally. And, you know, like, because again, well, and my husband also has ADHD. So we've got like a lot of ADHD in the house. And I know that overcoming of the negative message, I think it still affects him today. You know what I mean? And I know for me, and it's going to be part of my next question, but just to share also, like, right, I do know about ADHD and again, have a lot of experience, but I was in that point with like not being able to organize because I just had a lot of things. We were reopening my office and, you know, I got a new puppy and I just was feeling like, I don't know how to get back on track. Like I can do it when it's a little issue. So I think that point that you're making about like encouragement, even if you're someone who knows and knows what to do, you know, like I think that's a big part of what was so helpful is just feeling like getting that back. Like, okay, I know what to do. I have a way to do it. Even though you know what to do. People say that all the time. Well, I know what to do, but I'm just not doing it. And I think though, but it's like, there is that encouragement piece, like feeling like, okay, I have the supports. You know, I think people need the supports to be able to act on what they know.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. And they often say, the experts often say that with ADHD, we know what to do. It's not a question of educating us. Yes. We just literally cannot do it. It's not willpower. This is not, I'm refusing, I'm being stubborn, I don't want to. It's not that. ADHD folks try so hard to do it and then often feel paralyzed and just stuck, just like, I know it's right over there and I need to be doing it. I just can't get off the couch or I can't make myself or whatever it is. And it's incredibly frustrating, which is why all those labels come into play. Oh, you're just lazy. Just try harder. If we had a nickel for every time someone said, just try harder to ADHD folks, we would be so wealthy. It would be unbelievable. Bill Gates would have nothing on us. Let me just say. And I just read today that Bill Gates actually may have ADHD. So there you go.
I do see he like read a book a day or something, but you know, and I know this is a big trend. I still don't have a TikTok, but I know like there's a lot about like recognizing the signs in women. And I think it's really great that you focus on women, because I think for me, the reason I've never gotten an official diagnosis, you know, but I've realized through like just my training and my husband, like I do have a lot of the symptoms. And so it showed up for me, like I was that talkative kid, but I also wanted to be good and like not get in trouble. And so I kind of just white knuckled it, but I really couldn't focus in school. And I just got by on like, actually, I don't know how, but I was able to get good grades, even though I really didn't pay attention. But just what have you seen? So I know my own personal experience, but what patterns have you seen in women and ADHD? And because it sounds like that's specifically who you like to work with.
Yeah, I do. I work with women, and I work with couples, and I work with women who are 40 and better, as I like to call them, because that's a lot of times when hormones kick in, and hormones have a huge amount, have a huge influence on our brains and on dopamine, which is what's really important for ADHD, one of the two neurotransmitters. But what I hear and what I see is that little girls are often missed in elementary and in the early grades because they're inattentive. And a lot of women with ADHD are the inattentive, not the impulsive, I'm going to run around and miss chatterbox and all that stuff. And we don't get in trouble. Girls are culturized to not be in trouble. We are cultured to sit tight and do our homework and be nice. And if a little girl is sitting in the third or fourth grade, let's say, and she's staring out the window, she's being quiet. The problem comes when grades come out and she has done nothing with her homework and she has no idea what's going on in the classroom. I know that when I was in the fourth grade myself, we had music and they wheeled the piano from one classroom to another in those days. And I was in the very back row and I was just kind of la-di-da-di-da-di-da. And I was just kind of like basically looking at it. It's a good thing that I could read music, because all of a sudden Mr. Omar, the teacher, called me up to the front and said, come up here and sing with me. And I was like, oh my, I don't know, what are we even doing? Right? I was totally not paying attention. And thank God I read it. I was able to read music and follow along with them. And I was chosen for the lead in the operetta, for the school operetta, simply because I think I could sing loudly. I don't think it was because I was doing it, but I've never told him, nobody ever told him that I was just daydreaming. But little boys who are also inattentive get missed in school too. So boys are diagnosed earlier. Girls are more likely to be diagnosed when they hit puberty, because again, the hormones are kicking in. All that estrogen makes a huge difference. And when we start having our periods, up and down and up and down that estrogen goes. And so a lot of girls, right before they start to bleed, their ADHD symptoms go nuts. They are crazy. Like, I can't remember anything. Not a good day to take a test. If you can avoid taking a test the day before your period starts, good thing to do. The other thing that you mentioned, that I'm so glad you mentioned it, Abby, because a lot of us got by just by our wits and our intelligence.
Totally.
And the problem with that is that, like you, I didn't study much, but I had straight A's. I graduated with honors, the whole business, right? Then I got to college and, oh my God, I had to study. And then suddenly it was just like, oh, I don't even know. I didn't really even have the study skills. I mean, I did okay when I was in college. However, a lot of women with high IQs, which we call them 2E now, ADHD plus they're gifted, a lot of them are shaking in their boots that someone's going to discover that they really don't know as much as they are portraying themselves to do. And also the other huge issue is that they don't believe it themselves. All of a sudden it's like the imposter syndrome that's right out there in front. And the message to themselves often is, I'm smart. I mean, I was in the gifted program, so I'm smart. I should be able to do this. Why can't I do this? And then we start beating ourselves up more and more and more. And one of the biggest differences between boys and girls, men and women with ADHD, is that girls tend to take this on as there's something wrong with me, and boys take it on as there's something wrong with it. You know, the dog ate my homework kind of thing. They're more likely to externalize. Girls are more likely to internalize and say, I'm defective. There's something. And a lot of times we have trouble with friends. So nobody likes me. And that's a reason, because there's something. I mean, if we just carry that on, that story on and on, it just gets bigger and bigger. And it's tragic because we carry it into adulthood and try to cover it up. More deeper, thicker imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Thanks for speaking on that.
That was a long answer. That was a long answer.
Question. Love it.
I mean, and I think like there's ways that we could relate that. I think as women in general, we tend to maybe internalize it versus externalize it, especially in school. If that's being reinforced, if you say, was it 20,000 more negative? Of course, how else are you supposed to interpret that? Especially when you're a child, your brain is still developing. You still take things as fact. How damaging that could be. And Why can't you do it? You're just so lazy. I think that's where a lot of that, like, you've heard that externally, now you've internalized that for yourself. And so you talked a little bit about organization being difficult. You mentioned hormones, which is really, really fascinating to me. Is there anything else, do you think, going on that makes organizing so difficult for folks with ADHD?
Well, it's actually kind of basic ADHD 101, because organizing is an executive function. There are generally 8 executive functions. An executive function is what is happening in the prefrontal cortex. I'm simplifying this, of course, but that's that part right behind your forehead. And that's the most recent part of our brain. That's the part that helps us plan, and it helps us prioritize, and it also helps us organize. And one of the pieces with that is that ADHD, the prefrontal cortex, doesn't quite make as nice, tidy connections as it does with non-ADHD folks. That's why a lot of, when people are prescribed medication actually stimulates the dopamine so that there's more dopamine going to the whole brain, but in particular, the prefrontal cortex. So that's what really is, people are like, stimulants, oh no, it's terrible, but it's really stimulating dopamine. And therefore, organizing is difficult. The other piece is that ADHD 101 is about being distracted and being scattered and forgetful and daydreaming, the daydreaming kind of thing I was talking about before. So if we put something down and we say, I'll put that away in a few minutes, we forget it's even there in a few minutes because we're on to something else.
Yeah.
Because our brains move so fast that we are just bam, 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 bam. And going back to do something again, boring. I don't really want to do that. Because when we're bored, that's another way that dopamine goes down, which is why we need something to be interesting all the time. And non-ADHD folks will say, well, of course, wouldn't I like to be interested in everything too? I just have to force myself to do it. It's just willpower. If only we could do that. If only. It's tragic when ADHD folks are in a situation, especially a familial situation, where a spouse, for instance, is saying, you don't even try. You don't even care about this family because you won't even take up the trash, or you won't even fix us there, or whatever it is. And it's a complete misunderstanding of what's going on for this poor person's brain, whether it's a man, woman, non-binary, whatever is going on. It is devastating. And it's also, that's why it's so important for podcasts like this. That's all I want to say about that.
Yes. Well, and you know, it's like, it's such a good point in the sense that, you know, I think Mona knows we've been friends for many years. Like my brain goes super fast. I think at times it's like been like, right. And like, I'm always listening to podcasts at 2X. It's just, you know, it's like, there's like 5 things going on at once. And so again, it just seems like a personality trait, but it really is like, this is the brain you're experiencing. And so it really is operating different in a different scenario, you know?
Absolutely.
So what do you think are the benefits to organizational coaching? You know, how does it help transform people's lives to do this like organizational work?
Well, I think for organizing, I can only speak to what I've heard when the Get Organized program, because we created Get Organized ironically and accidentally right at the outset of the pandemic. We didn't know the pandemic was coming, but I did a webinar for Attitude Magazine in January 7th, I believe. And then we launched this 2 weeks later. So the middle of January, not many people knew about COVID though then. And it was just perfect because then everything shut down and people were home in their mess, right? They're home, they have to face it. They could leave and go to work or whatever, maybe teaching or whatever. So the benefits of this are that it's just like the benefits for anybody else. We can find things that we need when we need them without spending an hour looking for the, you know, the typical car keys or, you know, the appointment reminder or whatever it is that we can't find or the kids' lunch or whatever. It makes life simpler. And a lot of us with ADHD have accumulated things. It's not that ADHD folks are hoarders, but sometimes things just build up. A lot of times, for instance, we can't find something, so we buy it again. So then we have two of them. So then we find the first
definitely
one.
Done that, yeah.
And yes, I actually, and you guys can't see, but I actually was afraid to buy AirPods because I was afraid I would lose them. They would fall out of my ears. What did I lose? I lost the case. So now I ordered another case and I found the first case. So now I have 2 cases and only 1 set of ears. Anyway, nonetheless, that's one of the advantages. And what I hear from people in the Get Organized program and Go Forward is, haven't been able to look in this room for 22 years. I haven't been able to do this. Changed my life. And the reason it's changing their life is what we've talked about earlier today. People feel that they can do it. They have somebody on their team that says yay when they do something right and does not scold them when they do something wrong. Let's face it, the human brain tends to skew negative. Like we seem to look for things that go wrong instead of what things go right. That's why news is news. It's not the good news channels don't really get much traction. Unfortunately, we'd rather see blood and mayhem or whatever we've got. But I say that as an overall, not necessarily specific to all of us, however. But it's simply that, wow, we can do this. And I've seen people be so excited because I cleaned up my kitchen today. I emptied the dishwasher. And I know that sounds like this minuscule, tiny little thing. But for them, someone who hates to empty the dishwasher, they've suddenly began to see the consequence and the reward of having that dishwasher emptied to put the dirty dishes in it to start again. And it's not that they're stupid. Believe me, these women and men are not stupid. It's simply that it's a skill that they didn't learn and that has been difficult for them to maintain, especially as adults. You'll see it with kiddos too. You'll see moms going in the room and going, oh no, we got to clean up this room again. But as long as mom does it, the kiddo doesn't learn how to do it. And plus, let's face it, it's pretty boring. I mean, it's the same old thing all the time. And it's the same thing with dishes. It's the same dishes. It's the same silverware. It's the same dust. It's the same TV. You know, so we have to do it again and again and again. So what I found is that a lot of experts out there, and I have interviewed probably 500 interviews in the last 5 or 6 years. Wow. And I know these people, and I know pretty much know what they're going to say before they even say it on the interview, but a lot of other people don't. So I'm going through with it. But what I hear is, this is what you need to do. And these are the things that will really help and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, that's exactly right. Or you'll read it in a book. This is the thing to do. The problem is that no one's helping me do it. I need somebody to hold my hand and walk me through it. And that's what I realized was happening with my organizer. I've worked with a professional organizer for on and off for probably 15 years. Mm. And what I knew was that I might have forgotten that she was even going to come that day. But when she rings the doorbell, ding dong, I'm like, oh, it's time to organize. I'm paying for it. I guess I'm going to organize. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to do for people in the Get Organized program. I wanted to give them some basics because to me, organizing comes really naturally. Maintaining does not come natural to me. I love to organize things. I just don't like to keep it up. I don't like to put things away. Back to the ADHD conundrum. But what I realized is that I wanted to give people a little bit of education because some people really do not know how to organize. They didn't get it from their home environment and they haven't picked it up along the way. And they're ADHD, for heaven's sake. They're having enough trouble just staying upright during the day. So I wanted to give them a little bit of education, but more importantly, I wanted to give them an opportunity to organize in real time with other people. And that sounds like, oh, ho, hum, you know, I could just do that on FocusMate. This is different. It's 2 to 2.5 hours of being on Zoom with other people who are also saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. These are my mother's pearls. I've been looking for them for 3 years now. Yeah. You know? And suddenly it's like, oh, it makes everyone else feel like they're not the one who's weird and wrong and defective and stupid. I mean, we begin to say that. What is wrong with you? Come on, get out of it. So I have 3 blitzes. I call them blitzes so that we could really get in there and work, work, work. And I have 3 a week and they're at different times so that people can do them in different time zones. Like I'm on the Eastern time, but 1 in the morning, 1 in the evening, and 1 on the weekend in the afternoon. And unfortunately, it still can't serve everybody. I've got people in Australia who want to join, and it just is the times are not working really well for them. But I can't do. I could be blitzing 24 hours a day. Let's face it. But what I hear from people is that the blitzes, like they'll show up and they'll say, you know, I don't really feel like doing anything, but I'm just going to show up. I'm just going to listen to everybody else. And then what happens is that they get energized by everyone else doing things. Yeah. And suddenly they begin to work too. They begin to organize in their own space. There are a few people who just get very discouraged. And it's like, I just can't do it. And yet there's one woman recently who kept showing up and kept showing up and kept showing up. And by George, she's starting to make inroads on that room that she's worked on for so long. So one of the most amazing things was a woman who she started like in the fall of 2020, and she worked all the way through April or May of this year of 2021. And she was working on a closet. She was a teacher. A lot of the folks in the Get Organized program and a lot of ADHD folks are in the teaching profession. And she had this all of her old teaching materials were, and they were all stuffed into like cloth bags, you know, those reusable bags and all that kind of stuff. So she said, I'm just going to start in the middle. It was one closet, right? One closet. She started in the middle, and by the time she got done, she had done 52 bags.
Wow.
Of stuff. And it took her all that time to do it. But we kept encouraging her and encouraging her. And believe me, by the time she got to bag 30, she was beginning to throw away a lot more than she was with bag one. Because it's like, I don't need this stuff. And it's going and it's being shredded or whatever it is. And then we have a picture of her standing in that closet with her arms outstretched. Yahoo! I did it. And here's the wonderful part of that story. I said, so now what are you going to do with this room? She said, I'm going to give it to my husband because it'll be his place to be calm. Mm. And I just thought that was so beautiful for her to do that. She goes, I have lots more to work on, but this is going to be his calm space. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was so generous of her, and what a great job she did. And I know it sounds kind of hokey, but we clap for people. We clap and we cheer and we're like, yay, that's fabulous. Even if it's a tiny little thing, you know? And somebody said, you must get really tired of doing that. I said, no, actually, I do it kind of naturally because that's what I do. I know this is going to sound terrible, but that's what I do with my dogs all the time. It's what I do with my kids all the time. It's what I do with my husband all the time. It's like, yay, thank you. That's amazing. Good job. So it's not really that hard, but it's a complete 180 degrees from where I started. Because I have to tell you that I didn't come from a family where the glass was half full or half empty. The glass didn't have one drop in the glass, not a single drop. And it was always where, look for, oh, that's wrong. Oh, those people are trying to take it. Oh, no, this is wrong. So coaching has really transformed how I look at the world. And then a lot of other additional things, retreats and all the kind of cool things that we do, have also made me aware of how much all of ADHD, let's just say the whole world needs encouragement because we don't get enough of it. Mm. And also I need it too, you know, and I'm really lucky that I have a husband who says, oh, I just love that. You look great today, even though I think I look terrible. You know, he's like, oh, you look so pretty. And I just love that. Oh, that's fabulous. Good. Oh, what a great dinner. I mean, he's constantly upholding that. And I pass that along to folks because I know how difficult it can be. I had an ex-husband who did not do that. Let's just leave it at that, shall we? Yeah.
And that's such a good point. I mean, speaking to the power of encouragement, it might seem such a minor thing, but it is rare, right? Like, especially if you're a child who's just neurodivergent in some way or just, you know, seen or as a problem child, right? You're getting those messages. It's easy to just point your fingers. So how powerful it is to encourage even the little things, right? And that's, it all adds up. So I love that you brought that in. And then the power of group support is so, so vital. I mean, I've been part of support groups. I've run support groups. I say the best support groups are the ones where I get to take a step back and see the group support each other.
Yeah,
there's something absolutely. So powerful about a shared experience, especially like, right, I'm not stupid. I'm not the only one. Like, this is normal. We're all kind of struggling together. It really just helps normalize and, again, change that internal dialogue a little bit more. Mm-hmm.
And it's helpful to have it be repeated again and again and again and again and again. We had some issues in our marriage, and I was sure my husband was going to leave it. And it took 3 years of him saying, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm not. I tell you, I'm not leaving. I love you. I'm staying. I'm not leaving. It took 3 years for me to believe it. That's a big thing about when you think someone's going to leave, because we all fear abandonment, right? That's right. The ultimate, oh my God, I'm going to die kind of thing from when we're babies. But it takes time, and it has to be again and again, which is one reason I see. We had the Get Organized program. Then we kind of had a graduate program called Go Forward. After that first one, I'm like, oh, people aren't done organizing. Now what are we going to do with them? So I did GO, which is Get Organized Forward, Go Forward. And so if you've gone through the first program, anybody can come to the second program. And so I have people dropping out. And then the woman I told you who's standing in the closet is coming back again. She dropped out for a couple months. Now she's coming back because we need that constant reinforcement of the fact that, you know what, I'm okay. No matter what the world says, no matter what my kids say, no matter what my boss says, I'm okay. And these people believe in me. And I'm going back there because I want another drink of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So powerful. And I like the way that you're framing it. It's skill-based, right? A lot of us just don't learn the skills. So again, it's not a problem with us internally. There's nothing wrong with us, you know? And I think that's where a lot of that self-esteem piece comes in. So I really appreciate like framing it around the brain. There's something that's going on that's different. It's not bad. Because a lot of what I've seen is people with ADHD are actually one of the smartest people I know. I mean, they get to like I say this with Abby, she's just such a dynamic thinker. She could think in like layers that are just mm-hmm. seemingly like beyond my, you know, comprehension, which is because I'm very linear. I think we need people with that. And so actually, this could be my question is, you know, what is the benefits of having ADHD? Like, what is that superpower?
Oh, well, there are so many. And you've mentioned one is that we have this divergent thinking, which means we are really amazing problem solvers because we come at problems from so many different areas. So that's the upside. And it's also the downside because we can research something until the cows come home, until we run out of time, until it's due. Oh my gosh, we have to throw this together, that kind of thing. I think the other thing is that we tend to be pretty optimistic. Depression and ADHD and anxiety tend to go really closely together, especially for women with ADHD. However, the depression aside, we're pretty resilient. We get knocked down and we kind of bounce back up again. And we get knocked down and we bounce back up again. It may take us a little while to recoup, but we do actually bounce back up pretty well. But the other piece of that, though, is that I think that we're pretty adaptable as well. You know, we are flexible. I call that spontaneous. I think that's a good thing. Some people might not think that is. Actually, what I did was take all the negative connotations of ADHD and I transformed them into positives. So if someone's impulsive, they're actually being spontaneous, right?
Yes.
Impulsivity is one of the ADHD traits. And we're distracted, but maybe we're actually just probing, right? Maybe we're actually, you know, we're pulled over here and there's something really important. The other thing that I say a lot to folks is that ADHD folks, attention deficit disorder is, as we all know, a terrible name, and it's completely inappropriate because there's no deficit of attention. Mm-hmm. In fact, we have way too much attention. The problem is that we see, you know, that non-ADHD folks maybe see things in a world of maybe 60 degrees. We see things in 180 degrees. So it's not surprising that we're having trouble prioritizing all this information coming in. I walk into my therapist's office and it's like, oh my gosh, everything's changed. You got new carpeting. My husband, who is linear, walks in and says, huh? You know, and I don't think that's a man-woman thing. That's a,
right.
He's linear and OCD and I'm ADHD, but just like the two of you fit each other together really well. And you need some linear and you need some spontaneity and you need, you know, we need to rein that in a little bit sometimes. But I think that I think ADHD folks are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I think that most of us have a really good sense of humor because you can't cry, you gotta laugh. You just have to. That's all there is to it. And we really are very, very good at what we do. And that can be anything from being, if you can believe it, an accountant, which is where, you know, all right, that's where I'm gonna focus this attention. The rest of my life is gonna be spontaneous. Or being an artist or being a writer, where that spontaneity comes out here, where they may be very OCD about some of the other things in their lives. So I think ADHD. Some people say that that's how America was discovered because Columbus had ADHD because he was like so bored with what's going on. And so, are you kidding? Spain, I don't want to be here. Let's go see what's going on in the world. Let's go see if the world really is flat and we'll just go off the edge. It took somebody with a lot of courage and a lot of ingenuity to do
that. And curiosity, so, I think. Yeah,
and absolutely. Absolutely. Creativity happens a lot with ADHD. And I say some of these things, that's why I hesitated a little bit because there have been studies that show that ADHD folks are actually not more creative, nor more intelligent, more a lot of the things that we kind of talk about as being really great for ADHD. But that doesn't mean that we aren't.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that problem solving, because we look at things from so many different points of view, that looks like creativity. And so why can't we call that creativity? So yeah. Anyway, there are people. I've run a lot of support groups in the last 17 years, and one of the things I do is to pass out a paper and I say, okay, now write down all the positive things about your ADHD. And one woman said, there is nothing good about my ADHD. And it broke my heart because she's in that downward place of, I got to fix it and I got to be normal to be okay. And the truth is that there really isn't such a thing as normal out there.
Right.
Whether you have ADHD or whether you have pigeon toes or whether you have crossed eyes or one leg shorter than, everybody's got something. Mm. So my parting words are, let's be kind to each other because we all deserve it. You know, we're all good when we're better together.
That's awesome.
Beautiful. Thank you. I love that. With that, thank you so much for joining us. I personally got a lot out of it. I feel like I learned so much today and you just bring such a warmth and energy. So it was nice to meet you too.
To meet you.
Where can people find you? Website, social media?
Oh, gosh. I never can remember. But I mean, my website is addiva.net, the ADDIVA network. So addiva.net. You can find me at, I also do retreats at addivaretreats.com. And we have a couple, we actually have one coming up here shortly. I'm going to do an online ADHD 101 for women online. And then I also do an annual beach retreat, which of course last year was canceled, but we're keeping our fingers crossed for this year. We're in October. And we're also doing the Couples Palooza in late October during ADHD Awareness Month. We do three paloozas a year. We do the women's in February, March. We do the parents palooza in the summer, right before school starts. And then our first couples palooza will happen, as I say, right. It's actually the week before the International ADHD Conference, too, as a matter of fact. And you can find that at ADHDpalooza.com. And no matter how you spell it, you'll get there because I bought all the misspellings of ADHD Palooza. Just Palooka, Palooza, they're all there.
I love that. I'm so glad we got to interview you. There was just so much I could tell that you had to share, and I've definitely loved hearing everything you had to say today. I think it's so helpful, and a lot of people need this information. Like you said, it seems obvious, and it feels, I think, because we're steeped in it, but a lot of people don't know and like are just confused and thinking they are doing something wrong, you know? So I think a lot of people recognize themselves in what you're sharing. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for being here. Can I give you guys a hug?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Distance virtual hug. Awesome.
Indeed.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much, Linda.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks again for joining us.
Check out our show notes to learn more about this episode and to find all the ways to follow us.
And remember, if you're curious, try it.